Thank you. Thank you so much. I've already left my day job, y'all. My name is Dawn. I'm recovering from compulsive overeating. So I retired from my day job. I have a different job, so bear with me. Make me a channel of thy peace. Where there's despair in life, let me bring hope. Where there is darkness, only light. And where there's sadness, ever joy. Hope that something I say will bring some light, some joy, some hope to someone in the room today. Because Oway has certainly brought me a lot of light, joy, hope. Music is prayer for me. I wake up in the morning singing, and I go to bed at night singing. And all through the day I sing, because song is prayer for me. Yeah. Grew up in a singing household. They just sang all day, all night. My grandmother, very, very Catholic, just sang all her little hymns, and I would sing all the little hymns with her. And today in my life, I sing all day long. Because that for me is prayer. There's a phrase I like that says, stay prayed up. And I like that phrase because that works for me. Because I do. I just pray all day. It's how I survive a life that I find to be often extremely challenging. 12 years ago, I walked into the rooms of OA in a very healthy meeting in my neighborhood. It's still there, it's still healthy, it survived the pandemic. I learned a whole lot in that meeting. I learned the 12 steps and the 12 traditions. I learned about service, learned about healthy sponsorship, learned about seventh tradition. I learned about crosstalk and why it can be unhealthy and unhelpful. I learned about what happened to me with food and why is food what I turn to so often when life feels challenging. I have a lot of parts of what's part of my story. So I did some thinking as to what's the best way I can use the 20 minutes to be of service to all of us. So I'll jump around a tiny bit. I like to talk a tiny bit about 11th step. I just told you, I pray all day, I sing all day. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God. Yeah. The God of my understanding. I'm a lifelong collector of quotations, and I read a quotation early on that said, a loved child has many names. And I'm a person that loves nicknaming people, and I love names and unusual names. My name has an unusual spelling. So I've always just loved names. It's just something I love. So the God of my understanding is a little broader, or maybe a lot broader, than the God I was sort of taught as a child to believe and to worship and to trust in. My God is God. My God is the universe. My God is spirit. But my favorite these days, because it brings me such delight, is God giggles over despair. Because giggles, joy, laughter to me is such divine grace. Not like it, not even digestion. I'm more fascinated by laughter than I am by digestion. And that's saying a lot for someone that has so many issues with food. All over the world, you say a little something in people's body, and then there's this thing that comes out. What is that? Oh my goodness, that's the face of God. That's the hand of God right there. Wow. So gigs, nickname for my God, gigs. I turn to, from, in, around every minute of every day. I don't reach out for higher power because for me, my higher power sits right here within me with every breath that I take. Never unaware of the presence of God in my life. Joy is a real major part of my story. I had the honor and the privilege to work with children and families for near 40 years in this precious city of mine. And I worked in schools that I called throwaway schools, schools where the children and families have been determined by this society to not mean anything, to not have worth or value. Because I grew up in a family that poured into me richly, 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 richly to this day. Some people love them some Dawny. I became an adult who has a lot of love to give, a lot of love to offer. And I decided to join a profession where I help people figure that stuff out and cope. I am a child of a woman that was intensely bipolar. A chapter of the book I hope to write one day shall be bipolar before it was in vogue. My mom suffered. She didn't take the medication when she could avoid it because it was so horrible. The side effects were unreasonable. So she suffered quite a lot. And as I say in a poem that I wrote called Poppin' Prozac, when I was 16 years old, my mom tap danced off the roof of her apartment building to her death because life had become too much. Another part of my story is that 7 of the last 8 years, I was in the grips of the worst, horrific, life-threatening depression I have ever seen. And I've struggled with that illness for a mighty long amount of years. But 7 of the last 8 years were horrendous. Daily suicidal feelings. Daily. What truck can I step in front of today? And one of the things that helped me decide to live was the fact that my family can still not say my mother's name. And I did not know how to, in good conscience, put them through that tragedy again. Another thing that helped me stay alive is program and the notion of service. My prayer was, God, please don't let this be the end for me. I have so much more love to give. I have so much more service to give. And I can only say service because of 12-step recovery, because I'm a native New Yorker that loves me some convenience, and service is usually not convenient. Way back in the 80s in college, I did banking through the mail. I went to college as an orphan, so I got a social security check. It's part of what the U.S. does. And I was in Connecticut, and my banks were here in New York City. And I did banking by mail before it was a thing, because I'm not standing in the bank line. That's not going to happen. I did 1-800-STAMP-24, 3 o'clock in the morning, writing my papers in college, because I'm not standing in the post office line. That's not going to happen. And I stand on, sit on the phone with the people. No, I don't want the one with the flowers. You got something? No, I don't like the stamps with the flags. You got some with the, oh yeah, those will sound cute. On the phone, 3 o'clock in the morning, ordering stamps, because I'm not going to stay in the post office line. That's not my life today. I'll stand in the line. I'm still not happy about it, but I'll do it. I recognize that there might be a lot that I can do in the line. Maybe talk to the next person about our way. Because 12-step is real important to me. I carry the message everywhere I go. I'm about to join the PIPO committee, Public Information and Professional Outreach, something like that. Because I've not yet met a professional that knows anything about OA. And I think that, you know, would be well to change. And I'm happy to be a change agent. It's all I know. Judy, when you called me on Tuesday, was the most hilarious thing ever, because I was in the office of a medical provider doing some stuff for the new umbrella over my work. And I lost an inch, as they told me all my life I would. So I'm 4'11 now. Okay, fine. And the woman sitting there, her type and her computer said, oh, I have a red flag here on the screen because of your BMI, because of height and weight. And I didn't laugh in her face, but I wanted to. I wanted to laugh and say, you got a flag. What color is your flag, baby? Because my flag is a rainbow flag. I'm out loud and proud. There's going to be flags in here. Let it be one of those. What are you talking about? What kind of flag you got? My BMI. I'm not worried about a BMI. And the phone rang. And I put it to pause. And when I got out of that room, you were on the phone confirming today. And I said to her, you know what call that was when I was in your office? You ever heard of OA? Of course not. No, never heard of OA. Health provider, no. So I explained OA. And I told her the reason I'm not worried about her and her BMI and the flag on her computer. It's because I have a program to help me address the issues of food in my life. And she was really interested, and we talked. I carry the message everywhere I go. I practically get on the train and say, yo, wait, y'all good? Y'all ever heard of OA? I carry the message everywhere I go because my understanding of anonymity is not that I have to keep that my membership in this fellowship a secret, but that at the level of press, radio, television, I don't go on there, say my name, say, always the best, you must join. But I do carry the message in a very, very real way because I believe so strongly in the power of this program. Yes, I do. In recent weeks, I guess you can say, months, I made a couple decisions that I feel really excited about in my program. Yes, it's been 12 years, and yes, if something doesn't bring me joy, it has to be tweaked. I love some joy. Joy, joy, joy. Little boy once said to me, he came in my office. He said, "Miss Lee, why are you always writing joy?" I didn't realize that in my doodling, it always started with the word joy in the middle, and then it kind of sprang from there. It didn't even occur to me. I just looked at him. I said, "You know, I didn't realize that." I said, "Because I guess I always have joy in my belly. I don't know." And when I think about that, it's really poignant to me because, as I said, I work with children that had lots of reasons not to have joy. Lots of reasons not to have joy. And I took it as my honor and my privilege to bring as much joy to them buildings as I could. And I did. I did. So the couple of things I made a decision about recently, one of them is trying to figure out other things that are delicious other than food. And there's a lot of delicious stuff. So when I'm thinking about things that are delicious other than food, that really helps me just not concentrate on food as I did for most of my pre-recovery life. Everything was food, 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 always food. Another decision was not to pathologize food. My family emigrated here from the tiny Caribbean, British Caribbean islands, so they're very British and very proper. Unlike me, I'm kind of the raggedy one born here in America. What can I say? So if they went to the market, there might not be anything on the shelf. If they went to the bakery, there might not be another loaf bread left. I have members of my family to this day pick up the phone and call you. Hey, what are you cooking? Before they even say, "How you doing, girl?" And I've come to understand what you're cooking is not just about what's in them pots. What you're cooking is, do you still love me? What you're cooking is, how you feeling today? What you're cooking is, I have no food. Do you have some soup? I'm gonna send my baby over to come get some. And next week when I have, I'm gonna send him over to go bring you some. What you cooking? Somebody die in my family, the first thing that's talked about is who bringing what to the repast. You're bringing the goat water, you bring the duck. No, me don't want no duck no here. You better before the casket is chosen, before the prayers are decided, we're gonna talk about what we're gonna feed the people who have come to grieve and celebrate the life of the one who has died. What a beautiful thing. For me, just talking for me now. I have reintroduced celebrating food in my life, and it feels good. Because I have a program, celebrating food doesn't mean eating all the food I want to eat all the time and being unhealthy with food. Nah, it just means I celebrate the meaning and the depth of what food and eating and serving people and cooking for people and breaking bread with people, what that all entails. Food is just nourishment. That is not my truth. For me, that would be like saying, clothing is just fabric to cover my nakedness. Ooh, no, it ain't. I love me some fashion, and I live in one of the fashion capitals of the world, and I love that for me. I love admiring how somebody put together that. Look at the shoes. Look at that. Ooh, look at that. Love it, and I do it every day. I'm always complimenting people in these New York City streets. It's what I do. So for me, I've come to allow myself to celebrate food while at the same time flip that coin and know that food has to be kept in its place and that I cannot just eat food to quell the significant pain I walk around with in these here 2025 streets of the world. Food has to nourish, that is its priority. And both and. I can also celebrate the glory of what food is beyond
5
what's
minutes,
in that
Dawn.
pot. Thank you so much, Judy. What's in that pot? I love the slogans. So many of them are wonderful. I am a lifelong quote, collector of quotations. So slogans really help me. I really like HALT, and I've added a little something to it. HALT, don't let ourselves become too hungry, too angry, too lonely, or tired. I add another T for thirst. Because I recognize that thirst for me often, and for many of us, I imagine, often seems to be hunger. disguises itself as hunger. Sometimes all I am is thirsty. And in recovery, I can make sure I'm look into that. Wait a minute. Am I craving food or am I just thirsty? I love the steps, all of them. I have these little dice, these little wooden dice I made. I didn't make the dice, but I wrote on them. And they have the steps. I throw a few of them at a time. And that day, that will determine which three steps I concentrate on the most. I love 10-step inventory and gratitude lists. I do mine as consistently as I can. I love, as I said, 11-step prayer and meditation. Yes. I pray all day. I pray that that truck didn't run me over. Pray a prayer of thanks that that little kid smiled back at me when I smiled, and mama too. I pray that I have incredible gifts of abundance in my life. Pray always. If necessary, use words. Early quotation that made a lot of sense to me. One of my spiritual teachers, Anne Lamott, three essential prayers. Help. Thanks. Wow. And my favorite these days is the set-aside prayer. I had to write this down so I can see what it says. I've tweaked it a little bit. Anyone that knows me, no surprise there. I tweak everything because I've grown up in the world belonging to multiple marginalized communities. So I've had to tweak things my whole life to make sure I belong. Dear God, please help me set aside everything I think I know about. Fill in the blank, whatever I'm praying about in that moment. Everything I think about myself, my disease, the 12 steps, and you, God, so I may have an open mind and new experience. Please help me to see truth and light and goodness. I don't say, please help me to see the truth, because I'm saying the set aside prayer because I think I know the truth. I'm not asking for the truth. But yeah, truth, light, beauty, goodness, grace. I say that prayer all the time. I have it so down pat that I added a little movement to it here in these New York City streets. Ain't nobody care, which ain't nobody care. This is the best city on earth for me. I'm a native New Yorker and I'm so grateful for that, because you can do whatever the heck you want. Ain't nobody worrying about you. So every day, all day, I have opportunity to go like this. Set aside prayer, activate, because in these New York City streets, and I spend a lot of time on the subway, that
One minute,
subterranean
Dawn.
world, thank you so much, is a whole nother world. And you got to be ready. As they say, stay ready so you don't have to get ready. And I'm ready all the time. With joy and grace and gratitude for my life, for recovery, for all of y'all, for the goodness that's still here despite the noise. I heard once, I'll end with this. I heard it in a meeting. It may have been here. I don't know where it was. I don't know. But to this day, I can barely say it without crying. It's a prayer for me. May the best of me lead the rest of me. Wow. Thanks. Thanks, y'all.